The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And whoa, so much going on in America today in just an hour to get through it all. Let's begin with the message we heard last night from Barack Obama, a message that said, don't just sit there when there's work to be done.
If something needs fixing, then lace up your shoes and do some organizing. If you're disappointed by your elected officials, grab a clipboard, get some signatures, and run for office yourself. Show up. Dive in. Stay at it.
President 44 and out. In a classy, confident, and emotional farewell speech, President Barack Obama expressed his love for the people closest to him, like his wife, Michelle.
You made the White House a place that belongs to everybody. And a new generation sets its sights higher because it has you as a role model. So you have made me proud, and you have made the country proud.
The president also articulated his affection for the body politic, an affection, he says, undiminished by the electoral results of last November.
Tonight, it's my turn to say thanks. Whether we have seen eye to eye or rarely agreed at all, my conversations with you, the American people, in living rooms and in schools, at farms, on factory floors, at diners, and on distant military outposts. Those conversations are what have kept me honest and kept me inspired and kept me going. And every day I have learned from you. You made me a better president, and you made me a better man.
The president stood in a packed hall at Chicago's McCormick Place, acknowledging unfinished business and listing accomplishments. He also warned that longstanding tensions in American society remain potent despite progress and must be addressed honestly and directly in the coming years.
But we're not where we need to be. And all of us have more work to do. If every economic issue is framed as a struggle between a hardworking white middle class and an undeserving minority, then workers of all shades are going to be left fighting for scraps while the wealthy withdraw further into their private enclaves.
You can hear the support there in Chicago, but in the community where Barack Obama began his political life, there are people who feel as though he missed a chance to show leadership. We go to one of them now, Jamal Green, a 21-year-old community organizer and activist who watched the president's speech last night and says that in quality of life and especially in the out-of-control gun violence in that city, he feels left behind by a man he had great hopes for.
I was a big supporter of the president coming up. I was in elementary school before he was president, and I was reciting his speeches. I think that once he got in office, he did somewhat forget about the people at the bottom.
What do you think is the cause of the violence that has spiked in Chicago, and what do you think the president could have done about it?
When you look at the violence, you got to look at the root problems. Policing is not a root problem because they're just there to react. You got to look at the lack of investment into urban communities. You know, here in Chicago, we get under 20% of city resources to go to black communities. And so when you talk about that, you talk about the underfunded schools. We have 50 schools that are boarded up just sitting in our neighborhoods, lowering the property value. You're talking about the lack of economic development in our neighborhoods. They're not spending any money to build anything in the urban communities. You talk about people walking around with so much trauma, with so many problems because they see people dying and they don't have any hope. They don't have any parents, and you don't have mental health clinics to help people with mental health issues. The unemployment rate is the highest in Chicago than it is around the country amongst black youth. So, you know, we have to work on that. Give people jobs. We got to give people housing. We got to develop in the urban communities, and we got to have a level playing field.
The fact that Rahm Emanuel became mayor of Chicago and was once chief of staff and very close to Barack Obama in the first term underscores what would you'd think would be a commitment on the part of the president to Chicago. But has Rahm Emanuel let you down, or has Barack Obama let you down?
You know what? They're both two of their own men, so I won't fully blame Barack Obama for what Rahm Emanuel has done. But what I will blame him for is not speaking up and speaking out against Rahm Emanuel, knowing he had a bad first term, and then he went back in and still covered up a murder, which an officer shot a young man 16 times. So with that being said, Rahm Emanuel is to blame. He's definitely let down the city of Chicago. Talk about these communities, and you talk about violence, when you talk about the police brutality and the police culture, he basically got in and continued Chicago's same old way of corruption. And so that has to be stopped, and Rahm Emanuel definitely has to go.
You're 21 years old, right?
Yes.
You're a community organizer. You are probably walking in exactly the same footsteps as Barack Obama did in his 20s, as he talked about last night in his speech, right?
Yes. Yeah.
What do you think he would see if he was your colleague and not leaving office as president of the United States? What do you think he would see as the priorities right now?
You know what? I think when he was here, he kind of saw the same things that I'm saying today. Walking in these communities, grassroots, and talking to people about the problems in the neighborhoods, you know, he would see the poverty. He would see how the urban communities are neglected, and he would see these families that I visit in a hospital every single day because they're affected by gun violence, and nobody's doing anything about it. You know, gun violence is so normal that not an alderman, not a mayor, not a leader is saying anything or doing anything about the gun violence. You know, all they're doing is reacting to the families, and police are there to react, and they're not solving any of these murders. So it's continuing. So he would see these problems that are plaguing the communities every single day and you know, try to fix them, you know. But I think once he got in power, in that position of power, you know, he kind of lost sight a little bit and forgot about the people at the bottom. And that's where it starts.
Do you worry that in the way that you're talking now to me and in, you know, expressing these views, particularly now as President Obama leaves office, that you're maybe unwittingly endorsing Donald Trump's view of where blacks live in urban America, in hell, in terrible communities, dismiss them as just, you know, unlivable places of madness?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's true. Honestly,
you think Trump's right?
Donald Trump is actually correct in that. I do not like Donald Trump at all. I was very one of the main people responsible for shutting down his rally here in Chicago. And, you know, Donald Trump is not the type of person that I believe should be president. But he used the truth against Hillary Clinton. And that is the truth. Black people are living in hell. Black people are living in basically cages. USA, they push us into these communities with no resources, no funding. They're food deserts. So, you know, you got these people basically living in third world countries in a city that you can go downtown and it's Disney World. So, you know, it's true. We're living in these communities are hell. And he used that to his advantage. But I'm definitely not a supporter of his.
Is it, you know, Barack Obama said last night, all right, if you're complaining about things, if you're worried about things, lace up your shoes and get involved. Do you think your level of involvement is enough? Do you think enough people are as involved as you are? And do you think this problem is something that can be taken care of at the local level? Just forget the federal government for the next 4 years.
I do, actually. I think that, you know, we can't depend on a president. Black people have survived through a Reagan, Bush 1, stupid Bush 2, Bill Clinton's prison policies, and then, you know, even being a little ignored by Barack Obama. And so we know that the national level won't have an effect on us. It starts at the local level. But when it comes to myself, I think I'm putting in a lot of work, you know, every single day in the communities. There are not a lot of people like myself who are in these communities that are fighting against gun violence or fighting against police brutality or organizing the people, you know, to try to push them on the path. It's not a lot. You know, I'm using the very few people that we have in Chicago, and we're trying to work together to try to make a better Chicago. But it definitely starts locally. It starts with our mayors. It starts with our aldermen. You know, it starts with our congressmen, our state reps. The president won't trickle down right here to these communities. It starts with our leaders that's right here. And so we see that when we go and protest Rahm Emanuel's house and say, Rahm, you know, give these police officers tasers. And then the next day he says, okay, every officer is going to have a taser. Rahm, give these officers body cameras. Okay, the next day he gives officers body cameras. We see that change can be affected right here, policies and with the legislators. We just have to get out there and hold them accountable for what they're supposed to do.
Jamal Green, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
There are honest disagreements about the legacy of Barack Obama's 8 years in office. But debating them is less interesting to me, I think, than recognizing something the president said last night, which is relevant to all of us. He said we should participate in our democracy or be prepared to lose it. Isn't that the profound, somewhat chilling lesson from the election? And from so much of the cynical, dysfunctional malaise that has descended on American politics in recent years? We've heard this again and again. People turning away from federal politics and media gotchas and headlines and scandals and focusing on change close to home in their own communities. Most important, perhaps, the president said we have to look around and know each other better, listen to each other better.
This is Joe from Brooklyn. I just want to tell Obama, you tried really hard to do what you had to do, but you're leaving a country that's divided down the line. You're leaving a lot of tension. And I think a lot of times you didn't really think about everybody, but only what seemed to make you important.
Michelle on Facebook writes, I'm proud that I was able to introduce my grandchildren to politics in a time when we had a leader that used intelligence, respect, and compassion to all. His leadership showed tolerance towards obvious racism, his compassion towards many that were in pain, and his acceptance of change is a role model to all young men in this country.
This is Claudia from Beaufort, South Carolina, and I would like to say to Mr. Obama, your thoughtfulness, integrity, and dignity elevated all of us. Thank you for being an outstanding leader and a stand-up man.
Adam on Facebook. President Obama, do you regret prosecuting more whistleblowers than any president in history now that you know who your successor will be?
Owen from Pine Bluff, Arkansas. And my message to President Obama as he's leaving is a message of gratitude for helping realize the dreams of the many people who have fought to see an African-American be able to have the same rights as others, and to see such a dignified and honorable man take that office and handle it the way he did has been awe-inspiring and means a lot to a great deal of many people.
As we think about the legacy of Barack Obama and imagine our own final messages to a nation after 8 years, a bigger mission might be to enlarge the tent, for public radio listeners to make public media more public than ever, to make it truly be the voice of those citizens Barack Obama says he learned from these past 8 years. There's more to learn. Yes, there is. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or tweet us at The Takeaway. Use the hashtag Farewell44. You can also leave a comment on Facebook.com/The Takeaway.